Welcome back into Sports Talk on this fabulous Friday. Going to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line here from 1851 right off the bat. Should have talked about this in the first segment, Jeff, but wait, I need to know more about free agent Michael Thomas being suspended for week one. To quote Friday, how do you get fired on your day off?
Yeah, it's a strange one.
He's already been fired. He just, now if the team picks him up, he can't even play week one.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was part of the, I wouldn't be, you know, it's possible that maybe that's what's been driving off some teams. I don't know if he's going to deal with the suspension or not.
Yeah.
It's relative to the incident that occurred before week 10 of last year.
Get off my lawn.
And the thing is, we never really had to reckon with it because Mike got hurt in that week 10 game in Minnesota and he never came back. So we never even had to like talk about it again, really. But yeah, it was that incident with a contractor outside of his home. They got into it. There was reports that he threw a brick at the car. I don't know. It was all sorts of weird. I don't think any charges were ever filed officially. I don't think he ever dealt with anything, but it was a violation of the personal conduct policy, I guess. The NFL loves their personal conduct policy, so we got a one-game suspension. So wherever he does sign, and here's the thing, when he does sign there, it's not like he's going to just show up and play that week.
I'm here.
So it's just going to be a week off for him.
Yeah, just the interesting saga that continues to follow Michael Thomas wherever. The problem child, I guess you could call him. Just not New Orleans problem, at least, anymore.
Yeah, we'll see. I imagine he'll surface somewhere. Like, it would be kind of crazy if he didn't sign anywhere this year, but we'll have to see. I imagine he's healthy, as healthy as you can be, but yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what team might take a shot at him. I know that the Kansas City Chiefs are dealing with some injuries at wide receiver, so that'd be pretty interesting there.
Yeah, there'll be a team that thinks they're a playoff team that feels right. Like they need one receiver. Here's the thing. This is not the 2019 Mike Thomas, right? And I think any team that signs him is going to understand that. You know who was tied for last with Devontae Parker in average separation last year? Give you one guess.
Can't guard Mike.
It was Mike Thomas. He was last in average separation. That's according to the NFL stats. And if you're last in anything, that's a bad thing.
And you know that the NFL is a tight-knit group, and obviously people in the Saints organizations are talking to other teams, I'm sure, about what occurred here with Michael Thomas. And I can't imagine there's a lot of positive notes coming out of New Orleans camp.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say he's like being blackballed or anything like that. But yeah, if you know, you call references,
yeah,
right?
Right.
You hire somebody, you call references, and
they're not just saying, calling people up, going, "Don't sign this guy."
When someone goes out of the building the way he did, those references are not going to say like, "Oh, he was the best." It's awkward. So I don't know. Maybe that does drive some people off. That's why you have to be careful when you're going into free agency like that. Not to, I don't know, like if I'm a team, right? If I'm a team that's going to bring a guy in,
right?
I want to know that he's not going to be a negative influence on my locker room. And you've given every team in the NFL a reason to think that you could potentially be a negative influence on the locker room. Like, why would you not think that? Regardless of what happened between him and Derek, regardless of whether you think, oh, Mike was right in this whole scenario, airing your grievances on social media is a good way to turn away a lot of potential suitors in free agency. And I'm not saying that's what's happening, but we're in the regular season now and has been basically not a peep.
Well, you don't think the Denver Broncos could use a wide receiver? I mean, Sean Payton's not even interested in Michael Thomas.
Well, I think the feud started with, I mean, like, everyone wants to look at DA and say like, oh, it's DA's fault. DA did, like, no, he was griping at Sean long before he was griping at DA.
Right, with the injury stuff, yeah. And obviously then he had the fight at practice with C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Well, you remember the Zoom call? Remember Sean had the Zoom call where he basically, I think Sean sometimes forgot that those Zoom calls were basically press conferences, because he was like, it was after Mike didn't have the surgery, and then he showed up at minicamp or OTAs or whatever, and then left, and it was like, oh, he's going to have the surgery now in June. And he was like, well, what the heck?
Right.
Like, he did not hold anything back in that. And so that was the beginning of, anyway.
I
don't think there's any love lost between Mike and Sean. Let's put it that way.
Right, exactly. I would not expect him to be with the Broncos at all, for sure.
No.
And since C.J. Gardner-Johnson is back with the Philadelphia Eagles, cross them off the list, too.
Speaking of someone who can't shut up on social media, I feel like I see tweets from him every day like, oh, playing DB is the hardest thing in the world. Anyway.
Who?
C.J.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was like complaining about Madden rankings and throwing Tyrann Mathieu under the bus. And that was a cup. That was about a month ago.
I did see that. Yeah, you're right.
He just can't,
that's been a while, though.
He can't help himself. He just needs attention all the time.
Someone who needs our attention on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line, you were able to piece together this text message.
Well, it actually came in order, something that people don't realize is a lot of times when the texts get broken up, they come in out of order. But this one actually came in order, and let's see if I can get to the beginning. Okay, this is from 7662, and it's a long text. They put a lot of work into it, so I want to read it verbatim. It says, "Our Tigers must beat USC. Remember in 2003, the BCS championship game came down to LSU, Oklahoma, and USC. The Condoms, oops, Trojans, lost out by our razor-thin margin. USC won the Rose Bowl, and the AP poll listed them as number one, so they claimed a co-championship with LSU. Parentheses, BS! The BCS was established precisely to prevent this, so we need to stop them. We've not played them since 1984, so this is important. Going to be wild in Vegas. Game is sold out. The game is the hottest ticket in college football this year. Tigers are buying up most of the tickets, and we always bring the party. Just ask the people in Omaha at the College World Series." Yeah.
Shot.
I don't know. I enjoyed that text, so I figured we could read it. I don't know how much the players on the current roster are like, oh, yeah, we got to get Adam back because of that thing that happened before I was born. But, yeah. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun game.
No, I'm anxious to hear more of Tiger fans in Las Vegas for sure, too, because that's going to be off the chain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I imagine it will be like a home game for LSU. Although, I don't know. USC fans travel well, too. It's not that far for them. So maybe they'll put up a good showing. We'll
yeah, I don't know. Even in Las Vegas, though, even if the LSU fans can outdrink any kind of bar, restaurant, or hotel over there.
Sure, I don't think they're going to run out.
No, exactly.
Like, that was in Atlanta. I remember the team hotel in Atlanta for it was either the Peach Bowl or the SEC Championship. I can't remember. They ran out of beer in the hotel that all the LSU fans were at. They had to like put in an emergency order for beer at the last second.
Save our souls. Save our suds.
Save our
LSU
suds.
Fans are here.
Save our suds.
Now going to the actual Oakland Heart Jewelers talk line, not the text line. We're going to hit up Hollywood and Thibodeau. Got some Saints comments. What you got for us today, Hollywood?
Hey, Steve. Hey, Jeff. How y'all doing?
Fantastic, man. Football is back, baby.
Yeah, we got real football next week, not that preseason practice stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely looking forward to it. We start Thursday night, Friday night, and then Sunday is the Saints game, and obviously then we have Monday Night Football too, but just it's all here and definitely looking forward to it. But, yeah, big one this weekend, too, obviously, with LSU. But I know you wanted to get into some Saints talk. What did you have for us, Hollywood?
Yeah, Steve, if Carr struggles the first two games, would you yank Carr on foot Rattler?
Who? It would have to be, like, I don't know, like a 4-touchdown, 5-touchdown game, like a Nate Peterman kind of performance for me to think about pulling Carr in week 3.
Yeah, I think, you know, just in the sense of like, okay, you bench your starting quarterback, they would have to be playing very, very poorly. Not just like, oh, you lost a couple games. You would have to have lost the games because of the quarterback in order to bench your quarterback, right? Like if the defense allows 30 points and you're just like, well, what happened there? We can't put that on the quarterback. And,
right.
I don't know. I don't see Carr getting benched. We'll see. I think Derek's going to have a solid season. It's going to come down to the protection. I don't know if anyone's going to succeed if that protection breaks down. So
man. That excitement about around Rattler, though, is undeniable,
about the rattlesnake. And it's to the point that, you know, it's frustrating because it's like I'd like to talk about Spencer in a realistic way, but I don't think he can. It's like this point that everyone's already convinced. Like, I was talking to someone this morning, and they were, like, comparing him to Pat Mahomes and Jordan Love.
Whoa.
And I was just like, guys, those are first-round picks. That's a difference. There's a difference. They're developing a fifth-round pick here. Can we be realistic? I don't know. And that's not to say, like, your question like, I appreciate the question. It's just we're talking about a fifth-round pick. And we're talking about starting him not only in his rookie season, but in the first half of his rookie season, of a season that the team is trying to win. So I don't know.
Yeah, for me too, like Carr is not a quarterback that you look at as, I don't want to say in the later part of his career. I know he's up there in age now, but I don't think he's past his prime, quote unquote.
I do. I think he's like at the tail end of it at best. I think he's right on that fringe of where Andy Dalton was when he went to the Bears, right? And you had Andy Dalton there. He played like 8 games, and then you went to Justin Fields. Again, a first-round pick. Now, I think Derek is still at a higher level than maybe Andy when he was here, but not by that much. That said, you went 7-10 that season. It's not like it was a destructive explosion of terrible all year.
Well, we're all spoiled here now, obviously. So,
well, I mean, that's what it is when you don't have a quarterback, right? And there's this idea that, hey, you do have a quarterback now, but he's definitely not a long-term play, right? Like, even if Derek does have a solid season, how long do you expect that run to go? So he is a bridge. It's just you hope he's a longer bridge than – because here's the thing. I like Spencer Rattler. I do not think playing him this season would be a good idea just for his own development. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not about, oh, fans are fed up with Derek, so you want to get him on the field as fast as possible. I don't want to play him until he's ready to play. I don't think you do a quarterback – any favors by rushing him onto the field as a rookie. Anyone. I don't care who it is. Like, some players, you have to do it. We were talking about this yesterday. If you're Caleb Williams, you're the Bears, you don't have a choice. If Matt Eberflus was like, I'm gonna sit Caleb, they would just fire him and hire someone who would play Caleb. Like, they don't have the luxury of doing that.
Right, you were the number one overall pick. You are in.
The Gerard Mayo is making the right call, in my opinion, with Drake May. They would be terrible this year, whether with or without Drake May.
But I think there's definitely the belief there that that's a scenario. It could be week three, week four, where May does finally get the call into the lineup. I don't know if Brissett's on that long of a leash. I think Derek Carr is obviously, this is his team still right now. It's not even a question of, the future. This is Derek Carr's team right now.
You didn't sign Derek Carr to be a bridge to Spencer Rattler.
Right.
Now, maybe next year you're looking at that and seeing how this year went, and then you're going from there, because if things go terribly this year, you're probably resetting things anyway. We got a text that says, please don't compare Derek Carr to Andy Dalton, which that's crazy to me. They're the same guy, just a few years apart. Like, I feel like people forget, like, Andy Dalton had a pretty strong career with the Bengals. Like, they went to the playoffs multiple times. He was never a playoff winning quarterback, but he got there. He's going to end his career like top 30 in the NFL history in passing yards. Derek's the exact same way. Like, if you can't look at those two guys and see a similar career, I don't know what to tell you.
He came here and he ended up beating out Jameis Winston for the job.
Call it what you want.
Yeah.
But no, those two guys are similar quarterbacks. I don't know. Like, that's crazy to me that you would challenge that idea that Derek Carr and Andy Dalton are similar in their careers.
I'm with you on that as well, just because, yeah, you just look at the numbers right there. You don't even have to argue about it.
They're both second-round picks. Like, they're very similar dudes. I think Derek here is at a higher level than Andy was here in terms of his own career. Like, you're getting Derek probably 3 years earlier than when you got Andy in his own kind of career trajectory.
Right.
But the ceiling is the same.
See, that's why I didn't think Derek was quite yet, you know, in the downslope of his career.
No, he's right there on the edge. But you're talking about a mid-30s quarterback. At a certain point, you're not getting better. So what happens if you're not getting better? You're either staying the same or getting worse.